Blog Talk Radio.
You've tuned into Big Exclusives.
Please don't forget to subscribe to this channel.
Now, welcome your host, Valerie Denise Jones.
All right, guys. Happy Tuesday. Happy Tuesday. I hope you're having a great day. I know I am. I am blessed and highly favored. Getting ready for a great week and an even better weekend. You're listening to Big Exclusives. I am Valerie Denise Jones. I'm not sure if I said that already. I'm sorry. Multitasking. 929-477-1167. Again, 929-477-1167. We're going to be live on social media here in a little bit. Chat room is popping. Social media, please make sure that you tweet, share your thoughts, submit comments, what have you, via the various platforms, because we love that when you do that. Thank you, everybody who's on the board. We appreciate you guys so much, especially our international callers. You guys got to do a lot to get through to us, so I definitely want to send you a big shout-out. We had a great show for you today. I want to just play you a snippet. I won't be able to play the entire song because I don't want to hold our guest too long, but I find this song to be one of my favorites. When we come back, we're going to bring in Philo the Great, talk to him just a little bit, see what his how his energy is doing, you know, where he's at. All right, so guys, here you go. I hope you enjoy this.
You rocking loud, but you ain't saying nothing. Time I settle the score.
I play my enemies like a game of chess.
Playing Mr. Big, I'm gonna get you sucker.
Soldier, left, right, left, right.
It's time I
left,
settle the score.
Left, right, left, right, left. Left,
time I
left,
settle the score. Ripple to the raw, rum to the ripple. Single, but this times I come and triple. Blah, 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 with the heat into your head, now you dead. Why left don't give a ooh if you're dead. Rock, rock, let me attach like a black hat. You in the wrong neighborhood, check your map. You gotta go for backup to do what you gotta do, so you be back with Ram CU. Traitor in your crew is my poohie. He put poison in my tea and killed the soul, but I'll be back with centipede. I'm on some new technique, drunk in bamboo. I'm taking off clues, what? Competition simulation for the rap man. Losers, check the tutors as I'm sucking on your girl hooters. Don't play macho cause you got the gun, so cause if you gotta reload. Why cleft the multi-talented? Average heads can't handle it. I bring it to you live. Only if you
only
want it.
If you
me
want
and my guitar
it.
Go back like the days of the RMC.
Come on.
Check out my melody.
The W-I-C-L-E-F, why cleft the winning contest? I'm victorious. Still keep it real if you really manifest through your skills, not by how many shells you piss.
I'ma bring down the ruckus, play the nutcracker. Rough net rednecks, makes me no bother. Time after time, acting the lopper. Boss, you don't wanna fuck with my partner. Motion, commotion, what's your proposal? Uphold threefold, the crew is disposal. Like utensil, frost like dental. I autograph my lyrics with a number two pencil.
All right, guys, I hate that I had to stop that, but what I want you to do is when we cut it and submit it on iHeart and all the other platforms that we're on, you can hear, you know, snippets of it as much as we can share on that. But, man, I'll tell you, I absolutely love that song. I wish music sounded like that these days. But anyway, let me get back on my job. Now that I have everything all set up, multiple computers, phone is going off, so many things in the background, I swear. What I want to do at this time is go on and bring in the one and only birthday boy, birthday September 19th. Big shout out to you. I want to go on and open up his mic, 813-613, the other half of this network. Welcome, welcome, welcome. How are
you? Thank you. I am great, fine, ecstatic. I'm lovely. How are you? Thank you for the birthday shout out. Appreciate it.
I know. Yeah. I wish they still made music like that. Gosh, that took me back. It's beautiful. Ah, I love that. Well, we got a guest. I guess we could just go further down the rabbit hole and explore, you know, what it took to make beautiful music like that and why things are so different today. But anyway, I'm going to step out and let you guys talk because you're the guy who does it best. 610-416. Welcome, welcome to the show. We appreciate you. How are you?
I'm good.
Yeah, hello? How are you feeling?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Good, 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 good. Last name, Niccolo, is that how you pronounce it? N-I-C-O-L-O? Niccolo or Niccolo?
Well, actually, I would suppose to pronounce it Niccolo, but
okay.
Being that I'm in these United States of America, we say Niccolo here. So
Niccolo? Did people used to tease you? Did people used to tease you with that? Remember that lozenge? I think it was
Niccolo. No, it was more the beer Michelob, more so than Niccolo. But it's Michelob Niccolo, so it's a good way to know it. That's how you pronounce the name, just like the beer without the B. So it's Niccolo.
Gotcha. Oh, it's a pleasure to meet you.
The pleasure is
all
mine.
So we got Philo the Great in the building. Hope you guys have a great time. I again want to thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to chat with us.
So indeed. Mr. Niccolo, how are you doing, sir?
I am living the dream every day of my life. I'm truly blessed and enjoying this beautiful day in the suburbs of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Well, that's great, man. I want to get into it, man. It's not often I get a chance to talk to a 9-time Grammy-winning producer as well as music supervisor, so you really have an extensive resume. And so, first of all, thank you for being here. And I want to just tap into you for a minute, tap into your brain power, into your knowledge, and see if you don't mind sharing some of your journey, the things that you did, the things that you have been through to get to where you are, some of the people you have worked with. So you did mention right now you in Philadelphia. So that's where it all began for you. Is that correct?
Yeah, it really did. I guess some of the earliest recordings that I made here in Philly that made an impact was Schoolie D, Steady B, Cool C, Three Times Dope, and actually my partner in Roughhouse, Chris Schwartz, was managing Schoolie D at the time, and that's when we started working together, and that was way in the early days with PSK and Gucci Time. And then I was fortunate enough to hook up with Lawrence Goodman, who had Pop Art Records. And Lawrence at that time had Biz Markie and he had Roxanne Shanté. Which was some of the earliest records I made for Lawrence, but he had the Hillside Hustlers, and that was Steady B, Cool C, and Three Times Dope. So it was Lawrence who really helped me understand, you know, what made great street records, and it was just so much a feel that you just got from, you know, from working with those guys. And then from there, Lawrence brought and his brother Dana brought in Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince, and they were, you know, just two 16-year-old kids who obviously made a name for themselves. And it was doing he's the DJ, I'm the rapper, that gave me the opportunity to have my own label, which was Rough House Records. And Rough House Records actually started at Capitol Records. We made a couple of records. It was that for whatever reason didn't happen. And then we in '89 we switched over to Columbia Records, and and that's when the history began with Rough House.
Wow. So mentioning Rough House, the birth of Rough House, my homework leads me to Criss Cross. And when I seen Criss Cross, I was like, I thought they were with So Def, Jermaine Dupri. So having you here, can you explain how Criss Cross started with Rough House, and can you explain that relationship?
Sure. Actually, what started Rough House was before Criss Cross. Our first, first of all, can I curse on this network, or do I have to say like the F word?
Express yourself.
Okay. The first number one rap record that Rough House ever had was Tim Dog, and it was a song called "Fuck Compton." I'm from the South Bronx. Fuck Compton. Which caused quite a stir at the time. Actually, we must have been out of our minds it was funny, man, because it was like for us the beef between East Coast and West Coast, it was more kind of like professional wrestling than real motherfuckers killing each other. But it escalated into something so much more than that. But getting back to so that was our first number one rap record. Our first number one hit record was Cypress Hill, Kill a Man, which was in the movie Colors, or I forget which there was a movie out. I guess it could have been Colors that Kill a Man played almost the entire song played in the movie. That put Cypress Hill on the map. So that was really our first hit record. But my affiliation with Jermaine Dupri happened because me and him did a girl group from Atlanta. They were called Silk Times Leather, and we made the record for Geffen, and that's how I got to know Jermaine in Atlanta. And he was at the mall, and there were these two at the underground mall, and these two little kids that were standing in line. We thought they were in the band ABC, Another Bad Creation, because they just looked. They had the look. And we said, "Are you in a rap group?" And they said, "No." It's like, "Do you guys rap?" And they said, "No." And we just said, "Do you want to rap?" And they said, "Yeah." So we brought them. We did some of the record down there. We did the record in Philly. So Jermaine hadn't really had any hits yet. So the first hit we had was Criss Cross, and that's when Jermaine started his own label, So Def. So that's how Jermaine got his start.
Wow. So are we talking a jump? Was that the first song that they cut in Philly, on Rough House, that allowed Jermaine Dupri to then start So Def?
Yeah, pretty much. Actually, if you want to get down into the technical aspect of it, we had cut an EP with Criss Cross, and Jump and Warm It Up, Chris, weren't even part of that record. But Columbia was like, why don't you guys put a full record together? So the last two songs we did with Criss Cross was Jump and Warm It Up, Chris. And most of those records were cut up here in Philly.
Now that's dope. And Killer Man, for those who, all the listening audience out there who know Killer Man, here is something you can't understand, how I could just kill a man. So Cypress Hill. Also, you got credit for working with the Fugees. We heard the score to open the show. What was it like working with a Wyclef Jean, a Lauryn Hill, and Pros? Speak on that, because those are like legends, man, and yourself.
They, they're all geniuses in their own way. And you can hear it on the record. All I really did is gave them kind of A&R influence, which is really an A&R person at the record company just kind of guides the record. That most of that record really was the wisdom of all three of them. But it was Clef who really came up with a lot of the music that you hear. Obviously, all three of them did vocals. But that they were all, you know, intimately involved in that record. And it's a funny story because that was the second record that they made for Rough House. The first one was called Blunted on Reality. And that record just wasn't doing anything, man. It just wasn't lighting up. And the last record that we did on that, we did some remixes on the song Nappy Heads, which started to marinate a little, you know, things started to pop a little on that record, but then it fell off. And the guys up at Sony at Columbia, you're not going to pick up the Fugees, are you? And we were just kind of like, what? Yeah, of course we're going to pick up the Fugees, man. They, you know, they're just hitting their stride. And mm-hmm. and then the score came out. Funny story about the score, and this is when you know the artist. I find that the artist always knows best. When Clef first came in with the demo and the working version of Killing Me Softly, it's basically a beat, and then the bass comes in for the hook. And then when the second verse comes around, it drops straight to just the beat again. And my A&R sensibility was like, I was like, Clef, you know, you should bring something in on that second verse. It's naked with just the beat. And Lauren, don't you want to continue the bass or bring in another instrument? And he was like, no, man. Mm-mm. And I'm like, dude, I really think you should bring something else in there. And he's like, mm-hmm. trust me, Joe, it's gotta be straight blank like that. And I trusted his instincts, and he was absolutely right.
Wow. Now that's dope, man. Just to be able to get an inside story of me being a hip hop fan. To get a behind the scenes story of groups that I grew up listening to, it's dope, man. It's so awesome to have you here. And like you say, man, shouts out to all the artists that you work with because they are legends in their own right, man, for real. So you had a stable, man, of great artists, which says a lot about yourself. And it leads me into this question, man. You have a brother, Phil. And you all are known as the Butcher Brothers, right? So I wanted to know,
right.
like having a brother that has been successful in music too, has composed for some of the produced and composed for some of the greats as well, and has his own accolades. Do you think this is something that can be learned, or do you think this is like a DNA thing? Knowing what you know now, where you are now, having all the knowledge you have now, would you say it's more of a DNA, something that you have honestly, or is it something that can be learned?
You know, man, I think it's a combination of both. Actually, and just so you know, my brother Phil is my twin brother, so we grew up, you know, we grew up at the same time, listening to the same music. We had the same experiences. But, I, mm-hmm. you know, man, I think it's like anything. It's just like you, especially when both in the creative world and in the sports field, I think you just have to have that certain something. A lot of stuff can be learned. A lot of stuff in music and in, you know, in anything that you do really well can be learned. But there's – I really kind of think, man, it's got to be in your gene pool. There's got to be something in there that helps, that just helps you at least navigate, you know, this business, which, and I have the saying, man, making it in the music business isn't difficult. It's fucking impossible. But having that attitude, you realize it's just like, you know, you just gotta have a passion for it, and you gotta feel like you are better than everybody else, because no one's gonna believe you're better unless you think so.
Man, and that's really, 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 really great talk. And so somebody might be like, well, that's simple, but it's so many people who don't believe and really lose a lot of years. And I feel like I was one of those people who really didn't believe in my talent like I should have, and lost a lot of years. So for you to say that, and really, that's great. That's really great advice. That's great wisdom. And I want the listening audience out there to take that in. And because just listening to you, man, back then, and when I say back then, I'm talking early 2000s, 90s, you hooked up from Rough House. You joined forces with Merv Griffin, okay, and RKO Pictures, and you started executive producing. So you went from the studio, actually, into the film world, from the music world to the film world. Can you explain that transition? Because the reason why I'm asking you to explain it, because what stuck out to me is not only were you executive producer of these films, but you were also the music supervisor of these films, which means that you were executive producing as well as getting a compensation for putting the music to these films. So explain that. Explain that transition for me.
Well, it's funny because, like, first of all, I was really naive about the movie business, and I had just come off a couple of years after a Miseducation of Lauryn Hill and a 13-year run with Rough House, and I really was burned out of the music stuff, you know, just in general. But I think I was kind of naive in thinking, like, okay, I've done the music, I've gone as far as I can go in music. Now I want to try to see what I can do in film, and it was. It was a baptism of fire, because when you produce music, you really are, you know, you're in the thick of it in terms of the creative aspect of making music. But when you produce an executive produce a movie, it's just like you are putting out it's like a skyscraper that has, you know, fires in it every day, and all you're doing is trying to put out all the fires. So it's a little bit, you're the director and the editor of movies is really more obviously the creative aspect of making movies, and the producer really, and the executive producer has more the headaches. So what I did enjoy from a creative standpoint is the music aspect of movies, where even up to just 2 years ago, I scored a movie that is going to be coming out on Hulu. The movie's called Zeros. I still enjoy doing music to this day. I've come back full circle to music over the past 5 or 6 years. The movie business is way too expensive. It's not me. I mean, music is my first love. But it was great working with people like Merv Griffin and RKO Pictures. And in that movie Shade, I mean, Jamie Foxx starred in that movie, Tandy Newton, Sylvester Stallone, Gabriel Byrne, Stuart Townsend. There were just so many famous people in that movie. It was great.
Wow, so you're saying from the film, you found out that, hey, I like it, but really not my passion, not my first love. It was cool, but music is my first love. So you said that you find your way back into the music over the last 5 to 6 years. So what are you doing now?
Actually, I've been working with a lot of local bands. I've expanded my horizons in terms of what I like. And you know what's funny, man? I mean, this is just straight from the heart. I can appreciate where rap is today, and I can understand why that younger generation gravitates toward it. But it doesn't. Hey, man, I'm an older head who likes what he likes. So I just find I don't, you know, I'm not here criticizing it because I understand why people like it, but it doesn't speak to me. That's all. It just doesn't speak to me. I mean, it's but I'm not saying, oh man, the rap is coming out today, man, it all sounds the same with the auto tune, with the 808, and it sounds like shit. No, man, it's just like, you can't say that. I mean, it's just like, people like it. People like it for a reason. It just doesn't speak to me. So I've been working with a lot of bands locally. My latest passion, we're about to announce it here in the fall, is I started a foundation here in Philadelphia, and I'm doing it with he's a Philly personality. If you're not from Philly, you probably don't know who Tony Luke is, but he's kind of like one of the – he has a whole chain of cheesesteak stores. So, you know, so he's a Philadelphia personality. Anyway, to make a long story short, unfortunately, his son passed away of a heroin overdose last year. He's been in the music business a long time, and we're like, you know, like this opioid crisis, dude, is a crisis, and it affects young, old, black, white, Hispanic, rich, poor. It's devastating and killing people and families. So what we've decided to do is we're starting a foundation, and it's called the Sound Mind Network. Sound Mind being, of course, of sound mind and body, and sound being music. Our mission statement is to change. Is to change the way the world looks at addiction. Right now, basically what happens is, you know, they treat the overdose and the addiction side. They'll stick you in a bed for 30 days and say, okay, you're cured. Now go on your merry way. And it's just like, that's not what causes addiction. Most addiction is caused from physical, mental, sexual, or traumatic trauma, and no one addresses that's where it comes from. So what our mission statement, we're not creating beds, we're going to create awareness. Basically, through music, we're going to create the awareness that, you know, it's a mental thing. We're getting our board together. I'm reaching out to a lot of the people I've worked with from the music community in the past. We're going to put a project together. We're going to have a concert next year. That really is going to be my focus.
And the concert that you mentioned, is this the Blackbird Music Festival? Is that what you're working on for next year?
Correct.
Okay. So with and please say the name of that again for our listening audience. It's Sound Mind and Sound Mind. Yep. And go ahead.
It's a Sound Mind Network. The website, I knew we were speaking today. I haven't really talked about it much publicly yet, but the website will be up. It'll be soundmindnetwork.com.org.info. And what people are going to be able to do is they're going to be able to go to the website. There'll be reference material that they can check out. There's going to be a whole YouTube channel where you can access doctors, you can access psychiatrists. There'll be people on there telling their story. It'll be a place you can go, and most importantly, too, there'll be therapy through music, which we will have, you know, on our streaming, Spotify, wherever you stream is where the music will show up.
All right. So I wanted to talk about that too, man, because it seems like when it was a crack epidemic going on, and it was affecting just the African American community, the urban community. It's like no one said anything. And now that this opioid situation is now affecting the majority of Caucasian people, but yes, it does affect black people, everyone, like you mentioned, but the majority of Caucasian people, now it's a crisis, so to say. Do you see you being in the music industry, you coming from being in there doing the crack era, do you see a difference in that? And then would you like to what do you think about that? Like you say, the awareness everyone wants to make now towards the opioid epidemic, but where was that awareness when it was crack and it was just affecting our communities? You know what I mean?
I totally hear what you mean, man, and it's totally unfair, and it's totally because you said it affected the minorities, and the rest of the country, they don't give a shit about the minorities because they don't feel it, man. They don't, you know, they see it on the TV. It doesn't affect them. So is it unfair? Absolutely. Is it? And I, Dave Chappelle was. I don't know if you saw his recent stand-up, but he hit it, man.
Yes.
He hit it dead on. Okay, so it's just kind of like I can't help the fact that, you know, it was a totally unfair situation, but it's just like that's why we're not calling it the opioid crisis. We are calling it the Sound Mind Network, because the not to say the privileged white kid or black kid, you can be a privileged black kid who is affected by this has an addiction problem. The poor crack addict in the urban situation is also affected. So at least I feel like everybody, as long as you can get to our website, as long as you can call in the number, we want to be able to help everybody. But you're right, man. It wasn't. They didn't give a shit until it affected everybody. But having said that, when I don't know if 80% of this country is white, that's 80% is going to care about what they care about. Nobody gave a shit,
mm-hmm.
You know. So is that wrong? Of course it is. Is that unfair? Of course it is. Is life fair? No, it's not. So, like I said, man, what I want to do now is if I can get everybody to care about both sides of the coin, then everybody at least can get the help they need.
Right. And I'm glad you spoke up on that in your own words and how you feel. Because that's big. But I want to bring issue and shed light to what you said. I want to share light to what you said. You want to bring awareness because most addiction comes from some type of traumatic experience that people do not talk about. And that's what really needs to be the focus, like you're bringing awareness to, because I agree with that. A lot of times it is something that someone has experienced that they feel like they can't regurgitate or talk to someone about, and they wear with them, and so they hide behind drugs, a drug of choice. And it's not just an opioid. It could be alcohol. It could be whatever it is, shopping, eating. Whatever it is that you overindulge in, can potentially become a drug. So
absolutely.
I really support that. Getting like me and Valerie often say, a lot of people just want to deal with the sneeze, but not want to deal with the actual cause of the sneeze. You feel what I'm saying? So
yeah.
So you're doing something to bring awareness to the actual cause of the sneeze. And so I see really in the urban communities now with these opioids such as the Roxys, the Oxys, and all this, it's an expensive pill. It's an expensive drug. And when you can't get it, when you can't get that expensive drug, then you turn to a cheaper form of drug such as heroin, because these opioids, these Roxys, Oxys, have heroin in them. And so when you
right.
when I see most children who can't afford these pills and they turn into heroin, then by them turning to heroin, heroin is one of the drugs, one of the only drugs that I know that your body becomes dependent upon that you can't just get up out your system. Your body depends on that drug when heroin enters your body. And so you get what they call the shakes or whatever, where you gotta have heroin to knock it off. And so
that's what addiction is, my friend.
When we're dealing with this situation, we have to do something about it collectively. So I'm telling you right now that this is why me and Valerie have shows like this. It's to also not also just to pay respect to your resume, but also shed light on the real and what's going on right now in the real, in the now. And it is a crisis. It is an epidemic. And it is something that is affecting families all throughout this nation.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, sir.
Man.
Well, and I'm glad I got this opportunity to, to bring it up because it's important to me. That's, like I said, that's gonna be my focus.
Well, there's no problem, no problem. That's what the platform is here for, is to be a voice to get these real issues, to bring awareness to these real issues and to address the cause of the sneeze and not just do something about the sneeze. We're not just trying to find temporary fixes. We're actually here to reach and find a solution collectively. I feel like it's strength in numbers. And instead of just complaining or just talking, yes, we have to bring awareness to it. But once the awareness is made, we have to have an action plan to put in the action and to be doing things to really help this situation. Because it is a serious situation, and it is a lot of lives and families affected by this situation. So, again, it's real. It's real. There's no sugarcoating, no hiding behind it. It is what it is. The can of worms has been open. It is now open. It's time to do something about it and start, cleaning it up the best way we can. And doing it, playing your part, whichever way you feel like you can play your part effectively. Time to do it.
Right. Well, I will definitely stay in touch. I'll keep you aware of everything we're doing. I've reached out to Lauren, I've reached out to Wyclef and to Cypress Hill and Jermaine, and everybody's going to contribute in their own way, as well as other people I've worked with. Believe it or not, Kevin Bacon and his brother, the actor, they have a band mm-hmm. called the Bacon Brothers. They're doing music for the foundation. So it's everybody has been really receptive, and I'm just really excited. And we'll, like I said, we're just going to get it off the ground. And if you save one person, you've saved somebody. But I think we're going to do a lot of good.
Right. And I believe you will too. I really believe you will too. It is for a good cause. Just listening to the passion that you have, or just audibly, just listening to you audibly, I hear the passion. I hear the truth, and that there's something that you want to do. So I feel like you will be successful in it. So like I say, anything we can do to help you bring awareness to that, then come back, man. Share it here, right on this platform.
It'd be great to come back.
All right, you have a
listen,
home.
Man. This was a pleasure. I'm actually in a session right now, so I've got to get back to it. But I wanted to take this time, and again, I appreciate the platform, and I appreciate that you guys appreciate the records, man. It's just it's great. Music is such a healing thing, and you touch lives. So it's been such a great pleasure. I've been so blessed in the in what I've been able to achieve. Of course, it's hard work. Everything is hard work, but mm-hmm. a lot of it, man, is just dumb shit luck. So I appreciate the time.
Right. And no problem, man. But before you go, man, I can't let you get out of here without giving you contact information. Go ahead and get the contact information to the people, man. Any social media, any links you would like our followers out there to follow. You got it. Let's get you.
Sure. At this point, like I said, we're going to have SoundMind network up, but it's not up yet. But if anybody wants to contact me, they just they can email me through Joe Niccolo Music. So that's Joe Niccolo, N-I-C-O-L-O, music@gmail.com. And if you want to share your stories, if you want to share links to helpful articles, there's going to be a big database. I mean, that's, of course, for the, you know, from the foundation standpoint. And, hey, man. I'm still mixing and mastering records, and it's just like some people are like, well, nah, man, I can't afford Joe the Butcher to mix my record, and it's just like, well, how do you know that, you know?
Right.
So that's my email address, and I respond to everybody's email. So.
Well, there you have it. There you have it. Let's go ahead and give him a round of applause, Joe Niccolo. Grammy Award-winning producer, music supervisor, and right now he's on the campaign trail to bring awareness to the opioid abuse in this country. And like I said, again, I appreciate you stopping through. You do have a home here, so whenever you get ready to roll it out, festival next year, man, come back, share it, and hopefully, man, we could be a part of it some kind of way. And we'll talk about that, man, in the future, but no, you got a home right here, man, for Boss Radio Live, right here on Big Media, Big Exclusives, myself and the celebrity consultant, Valerie Denise Jones.
Well, I thank you so much, and I will definitely be in touch. And listen, man, you guys be blessed, and just have a great fall.
Hey, you do the same, sir. You do the same. Hey, let's get a round of applause. Round of applause, please. Let's go. Thank you. Thank you so much, sir. You enjoy the rest of your day. Thank you.
You too, man. Peace out.
All right. All right. Yes. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. All loved ones out there, that was our special guest, 9-time Grammy Award-winning Joe the Butcher Niccolo. You know what I'm saying? So please visit his email if you would like to get in contact with him, joeniccolomusic@gmail.com. joeniccolomusic@gmail.com. So right now what I would like to do is go to the phone lines and let's see if we have any callers who would like to make any comments, have any questions. We'll go ahead and introduce it at this time. Caller 916, you are live. You are live. 916.
Yes, this is Lambert, who is on the West Coast in Sacramento, where we're based, on the Cheesecake Man. And I wanted to just comment on what I just heard. I listened to everything that was said, and I don't waste time. So if I could just have 2 minutes, I wanted to respond to what I heard.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Well, first of all, I wish he was still there, but he's not. So I'll just bring you current on something. Whenever you hear the word minority, and being out here in California, you hear that a lot. When you hear somebody say minority, and then you hear somebody say, well, the majority of the United States is white, that's not true. If you take all the minorities who are called minorities and you put them in one group, which is what they do, then people of color are the majority. So that's number one. Number two, you're correct. See, in the good Bible, or in Scripture, I'll say, I'm a spiritual man, it says that you're going to reap what you sow. That means you, me, and the guy talking, everybody, we're going to reap what we've sown. And during the crack epidemic, you never heard crisis. You heard was condemnation. You heard immoral behavior, et cetera, et cetera. But when it becomes their relatives or their children or their grandchildren, then like Farrakhan says, their heart gets tender. So what you're looking at with the opiate crisis is the same thing, but only a different reaction to it. I mean, you got Trump begging for money for the opiate crisis, but it's only because it's really affecting a lot of white folks. So be aware of that. And I just wanted to, you know, enlighten you with that, those actual facts.
And I appreciate that. And that's why we do shows, allow callers like yourself to bring awareness, bring wisdom and knowledge to it. I, again, like you said, you was listening to the show, asked that question because you're right. It was no words used like crisis during the crack epidemic. Like you said, it was pretty much people were not people anymore. The addicts, they were looked upon as zombies. There was no plan and action to clean them up, to rehabilitate them. And so now when we see this opioid, quote-unquote, crisis, now it's a, like you say, you got the president asking for money. You got people trying to step in and get money to try to clean up. And so to say, to reiterate what you said, they start having a what? Tender heart. So I really appreciate that. Mr. Davis, if you can, go ahead and give out your contact information and shout out to the Cheesecake Company. You got it. Let's get it.
Okay. I'm going to pronounce the company name, and then I'll tell you the website. It's called To The Bay and Back Cheesecake, and it's www. And it's spelled T-O, then the, T-A, then Bay like Bay Area, B-A-Y, and A-N-D, and then back, B-A-C-K. So it's To The Bay and Back, and then everybody knows how to spell cheesecake.com, and that's how you reach us. Sacramento, California, the capital.
Indeed, indeed. And so, Mr. Davis, I got a question. Well, one more question for you before we take another caller. You coming from a different era, what would you say that needs to be done in our own communities by us to focus on what these drugs, the drug issue in our communities? What can we do? What type of action plan or what type of solution would you say that we need to implement in order to start cleaning up our own neighborhoods and communities?
Okay. First of all, this is just my opinion. I personally attended the Million Man March. I had never been to D.C. before, and I was enlightened there by the Willie Lynch speech. I think everybody black should be taught and read and study the Willie Lynch strategy, because if we can get that ingrained in us to reverse that, then we need to go inward and work with each other. Because if we don't break the Willie Lynch indoctrination, we'll fall for anything people tell us. The best example is this crack versus opiate situation. If you can't see it out of that, it's going to take unity, not lecturing, not what the white man is doing. We know what the white man is doing and continues to do. But internally, we got to hold our leaders accountable. They can't just say anything. See, I come out of the 70s, the early 60s, and back then they used to say, the brothers are going to work it out, or black folks are going to work it out. Now you got black people calling themselves African American. That's an insult. You see every other race, you don't hear them call themselves Americans, white American, Latino American, whatever American. They only say African American because that's deceptive to make you think you're an American citizen. So I say unity, black unity first. But Willie Lynch must be studied by all black people, even kindergartners, so they'll know what's really going on. That's my opinion.
And there it is. There it is. We're going to take another caller. I believe we have Rev Ali. Rev Ali, are you on the line? You have a question, concern, or comment, my brother? How you doing, son? Ali? Ali? Okay. All right. Well, in any event, look, all the callers out there, I think we have another one, 818, caller 818, your line is open. Please come to the line and state your name, where you're calling from, and your question or concern. You got it, let's get it, 818.
Greetings in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is Pastor Don Jr., CEO, Entertainment Worldwide Network, founder and commissioner of the Elite 300 winning team members. And I gotta give love to the whole Boss Radio Live, Big Media Group, and what y'all doing here, man. Y'all really making a lot of moves. And to the brother that was just speaking, man, we do need unity. I've been pastoring for over 12 years, and I live in 40 out of 50 states. And what's the problem is we get it twisted. We think that everything that glitters is gold, and even though that it's gold, we don't know how to hold gold because we're so busy saying it ain't gold when we got it in our hands. The bottom line is God equips us with everything that we need to get over the next hump. The problem is people, we want to talk to the trees and ask them why did God give us five senses to actually use as opposed to letting those five senses operate in their lane. You take a NASCAR race where they're driving around a track at 200 miles an hour. If a person move a hair wrong way and they get in somebody else's lane, it's a ripple effect like the butterfly effect. So with everything the brother...
Hello?
Something I say, I want to piggyback and say, we have to remember in order to have unity, some things are not going to make sense. And we can't get so wrapped up in what don't make sense. We have to go into the whole program. Now, most people don't understand that everybody has something different to bring to the table. When you look at a salad, it's not all the same vegetables, but the end result is a great feast to your belly. So at the end of the day, man, what we're doing right now by us actually putting something out there on the time capsules, putting it out there in the universe, the only power we have is the power of our mind and our thoughts. And once we express it through our words and our actions, the world will change. But if we don't express ourselves and get on these platforms and call in to the 929-477-1167, you're going to miss it. And if you're not recorded in the book of life, you can't be rewarded in heaven. I got a question for the brother, and I'm going to move out the way. With you seeing this whole social media thing changing, and we as a people, we don't interact so much. We're so busy looking at our cell phone. Back in the day, you got beat up if you didn't do the nod in certain neighborhoods. But now people don't even care about the nod no more. They want to make sure they get more followers on Instagram, so we walk past each other. How do you feel about that, and what's your take on that?
Mr. Davis, are you still with us? Mr. Davis?
Yeah, I wasn't sure if it was directed to me.
Yes, sir. That was to you, sir.
Well, I personally think the social media is a trick. It's a spy agency. It's already been exposed as that, and it has the whole world addicted to it. So anytime something is completely addicted to something, they could shut it down, and then you would have generations who've never known anything but social media that would be lost because they wouldn't have the ability to think without Google or Twitter. So I try to make people aware of that as well. I mean, I acknowledge social media because I have children and grandchildren, but I try to also tell them, look at how they're under attack now. As far as being a spy agency, they're allowing almost anything but Farrakhan to get on Twitter. He hadn't killed anybody and raped nobody, but they'll show suicide and rape on Facebook. I've seen that. That's insane to me. Yeah. That's my view on social media.
Good teaching, Elder. I got one more thing for you. I want to give you your flowers while you're here, and I want to bless everybody under the sound of my voice. This is what I read as that daily affirmation, and you really going to take this to heart. And tell me when you're ready. Here we go. This is the day, my day. I will control of it what I can and release of that what I can't. I will be confident in my words and in myself. Resilience will trump rejection. Failure will come frustration. For every yes, I've secured a victory. For every no, I plan to see. Every contact is a new opportunity, a new challenge, a moment of truth. I'm important, make a difference. I'm inspired by those around me. I'm blessed from above. I am the voice of and for many, the unborn, the sick, the hungry. I'm an ambassador for humanity. Each holy moment I'm thankful, for I have become stronger, for I have become stronger, for I have become stronger. This is my day today. Faith before all, I shall prevail. I want y'all to be blessed. Take that. Every time you heard me say, I put yourself in my shoes and speak out on the universe. We love you.
And there it is. There it is. I really appreciate the callers who called in. That was Pastor Don Jr., Mr. Lambert Davis, Back to the Bay, Cheesecake Factory. You all please go support. And I also got to give a special shout-out to the other half of this great network, celebrity consultant Valerie Denise Jones. Please, please, please go follow Valerie. That's ValerieDeniseJones.com or Miss Valerie, MS, Miss Valerie Denise Jones. .com and also tune in BossRadioLive.com. Go there for updates. You can get the social media there as well. And just follow us. Stay updated on what we're doing because we are moving, we are expanding, and we are doing big things. Big Boss Media. We're growing, and we're here. And I'm just so excited to be able to have real conversations and to give. a voice right here on the airways, to have people like Mr. Davis, Don Jr., Pastor Don Jr., and all of our international listeners out there, all of our other callers, and all of our supporters. You know what I mean? We really appreciate you because we do work hard in everything that we do. So I am CeeLo the Great, T-H like phone, E-L-O-T-H-E, G-R-E-A-T. Go to CeeLoTheGreat.com, BossRadioLive.com, like I stated. And just to stay in tune, follow me on all social media sites as CeeLoTheGreat, P-H like phone, E-L-O-T-H-E, G-R-E-A-T. And I will follow you back. Please leave a comment. Listen to the shows. Listen to the playback. Leave a comment because we do read the comments. We do take what you all say. And we do review it. And if it's something that we feel like we can use is going to make this platform better, we do implement it and we do give you shout-outs. So we are involved. And so please know that your comments, you listening to the playback, all of that does not go in vain because we are watching. The team here is watching, and we do take that into consideration. So y'all tune in tonight. We'll be back on the airwaves, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time for the Tennessee Takeover, hosted by myself, CeeLo the Great. And we got an interesting topic tonight, and that topic will be, do black men respect black women? So you can tune in, 516-666-9834. Again, that's 516-666-9834, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. Tune in, and we'll have a great discussion. We got some great panel members coming through just to have a great roundtable discussion about do black men respect black women. So with that being said, man, it's time for me to give you all your day back, and you all can go ahead and get ready for tonight's show. Come on, Tennessee Takeover. 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central, 516-666-9834. So I'm out of here, man. Again, I appreciate your loved ones. I really love y'all philosophers out there. We really do love y'all to life, as Valerie would say. So we out of here, man. Again, get with it or quit it. Barbecue a man do. Some will, some won't. Some do, some don't. And if you got a problem with anything I say, man, you got two choices. Either check it or receive. We out of here. Gone.
Putting it all on the truck.
Oh, he's gone.
women, cause I really was a pussy. But now I realize in my eyes, my mother before she died, her mistakes were never forgiven. In heaven, I hope you listen. Had to get to the root of my doom, called verbal abuse, with disrespectful words to women, I was loose. I didn't view them as queens and good things, but sexy and trifling and tell the truth, I was serving no weakness.
Okay, good night.